February 1912. Unity Church, a liberal religious center in Orlando, is formed. 100 years of liberal religion in Central Florida. That is what this congregation has been celebrating this weekend. We've had a chance to reflect on our history. This morning, I want to use our history to imagine our future. As we approached this weekend, I found myself trying to imagine this congregation, the city, our world, 100 years from now. I tried again yesterday morning. I was on the Heritage Walk with 30 other members of our community. We were walking through downtown Orlando, visiting various sites that have been important in the history of this congregation. At one point, we were standing amid skyscrapers across the street from where the Lucerne Theater once stood. The Lucerne Theater was where this congregation held its worship services before the construction of its first chapel. I tried, as I stood there on that street yesterday, to imagine what the view would have been like back then. No skyscrapers, dirt or sand roads, a city of 4,000 people. Yesterday, I had to look nearly straight up to see the sky. Could our founders have even imagined what I was seeing? Since my understanding of the rate of change in human culture is that it has been steadily accelerating, the change in the next 100 years can be expected to be even greater than that of the last 100 years. Can we even begin to imagine? I decided that I could not. I found myself thinking about Disney World, Future World, Tomorrowland, and how just 50 years after their creation, they look kind of quaint. Not long ago, I was reading a book that was only 10 years old. It's about emergence theory, the way that things emerge naturally out of pre-existing conditions. The book was forward-looking when it was published. However, it was, by the time I read it, also quaintly out of date, only 10 years after its publication. How can I begin to imagine this congregation, the city, our world, 100 years from now? I finally decided that my focus was too narrow. I was thinking about the building, sort of imagining flying cars zipping around and things like that. I wondered what technology will have wrought and what the issues of the day would be. And I will leave those details for now to the science fiction writers and imagineers among us. I shift my focus. Instead of looking at the differences between 100 years ago and now, I began to look at the similarities. And then I could begin to imagine our future. I decided that I can predict three things that will be true when this congregation celebrates its bicentennial 100 years from now. First, a century from now, this congregation will be imperfect. A century from now, our world will fall short of our ideals. And third, a century from now, the need for liberal religion will be as great as ever. Now, some of you may be a bit dismayed by these predictions, but I am not. I am an optimist at heart, but I still find it useful to face life's realities. On tough days, I have been known to say that as a minister, I would have a really great job if it wasn't for the people. But of course, not only are the people what keeps things interesting, but the people, you, are what I love most about what I do. And let me suggest that the same is true in general for our lives and our life together. There are challenges, Always there are challenges, always have been, always will be. As crazy making as life's challenges can be, it is what keeps things interesting, and it is what breaks our hearts open and allows us to love. Let's look at February 1912, at the founding of this congregation. A number of our historical documents read something like this. On Tuesday evening, February 21st, 1912, 24 people met at the McNeil home, and our church had its formal beginnings, end quote. I happen to like calendars. It's one of my things. So I thought, how cool is it that February 21st is a Tuesday this year, too? So I looked up a calendar from 1912, and imagine my surprise when I learned that in the year 1912, February 21st was in fact a Wednesday. Our documents are wrong. We have not sorted out yet whether our founding took place on Tuesday the 20th or Wednesday the 21st or some other date completely. And you know what? For most things, it doesn't matter. But my love of the absurd finds this a fun fact to know and tell. At this point, it seems likely that the mistake was inserted into our history by our first minister, Eleanor Gordon, as she wrote up a summary of her time with the congregation at the time of her retirement. Subsequently, those who read her summary simply propagated the mistake. It doesn't really matter, except to serve as this reminder. People aren't perfect, and something about me loves having imperfection as a part of our history. I will make mistakes. You will too, and that's okay. I am pretty sure 100 years from now, people will still be making mistakes. The question isn't, have there been or will there be mistakes? The question is, can we love one another in spite of our imperfections? We have, and we do, and we will. What I have been talking about is the nature of human beings. Humans are, I assert, imperfect and nonetheless lovable. In Eleanor Gordon's summary of those early years, we find the following account of that evening, whichever it was, in February of 1912. She writes, "The official records of this business meeting are in the first volume of the church records, but the informal discussion is not there. The meeting was anything but harmonious. Miss Safford was opposed to any plan that meant aid from the American Unitarian Association. I claimed that was what the AUA was for, and that a Unitarian church in Orlando was impossible on any other basis." End quote. It is important to note here that the Miss Safford referred to is the Reverend Mary Safford, the childhood friend and close companion of the author, Reverend Gordon. Reverend Gordon's account continues. "It was the personal element that made the situation difficult. As Miss Safford was a resident of Orlando and I was not, in the natural order of things, she would have been the leader of the new movement. As she refused outside aid, it was evident that there was nothing and would be nothing for her to lead. After a tense and very unpleasant hour, on motion of Mr. Sage, it was voted that I should be invited to return the next year as the minister of the newly organized church." End quote. On that evening, the church was founded, and good people, people who had dedicated their lives to the spread of liberal religion, people who loved each other, disagreed. And as unpleasant as that hour was, they nonetheless persevered, and because they persevered, we are here today. Why? Because they were not gathered that evening to form a comfy little club where everybody is nice and happy all the time and there is never any conflict. They were there to do something much more important and much more difficult. They were there to form a liberal religious center in Orlando and ensure its future in this growing city. They were there to make a commitment to their highest ideals and to living them in good times and in bad times. This, my friends, is important. If we are going to be a part of the legacy that we have inherited, then we too will have to let go of any illusion that we might have that we get to be a comfy little club where everyone is nice and happy all the time and there is never any conflict. We too must be able to stay in the room when it is unpleasant and talk to each other, to air our inevitable divergent views, to unravel our misunderstandings so that we can further our reason for being together, remembering that the cause of liberal religion is more important, far more important than any squabbling that we might be inclined to do. This is important. What we have signed up for is not easy, but it is so, so important. And when the personal element makes the situation difficult, we can remember the admonition of Ginny Corder, the moderator of our Unitarian Universalist Association, when she said, "We do not come to church to find the people we love. We come to church to love the people we find." People are not perfect. And neither are institutions, and my friends, neither is our world. Our founders struggled for a more just world. Their issues were in some ways quite different from ours. Founded 7 years before women were granted the right to vote nationally, they advocated full equality. I wonder if they ever imagined the marriage equality struggle that we engage today. And I wonder what inequality that we do not even perceive might be the cause for which our children's children sign petitions and march in the streets. Our founders were concerned about matters of economic justice and equal opportunity. The specifics of the issues may have changed, but not the broader cause. Today, with our friends from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, we are concerned about issues of economic justice. Today, with our immigrant neighbors, we work for equal opportunity. The General Assembly of our Unitarian Universalist Association this year is, in fact, focused on immigration and related justice issues. Because we will be meeting in Phoenix, Arizona, we have reimagined our annual gathering to create a Justice General Assembly. And I want to show you a brief clip of our president of our association, the Reverend Peter Morales, with a personal invitation to be part of the events which speak to the inequalities of our day.
Hello, I'm Peter Morales, president of the UUA. And I'm standing here in Nogales, Mexico, and as you can see, the historic new border fence is behind me. This fence represents so much that has gone wrong in our immigration policy and is a visual expression of the divisions of people that is occurring across our land. I want to issue my personal invitation to you to join me and thousands of other Unitarian Universalists in Phoenix at our Justice General Assembly. This is going to be an opportunity for us to raise our voices together in a powerful public witness against violations of fundamental human rights. But also, on top of that, it's a chance to work with other community partners in Arizona, the partnerships we've been developing for years, to learn more and to do work together in unison with these partners. And perhaps most important, this is a chance to participate in workshops and trainings and hear speakers that help us learn how to form these powerful partnerships wherever we are, in our congregations, in our communities, so that we Unitarian Universalists become an even more powerful force for good in our world. Spirituality and justice have always been linked together at the core of our faith. This is a central part of our tradition. Come, join me in Phoenix for this historic Justice General Assembly.
Learning to form powerful partnerships so that we can be an even more powerful force for good in our world. Important today and for years to come. From our founding, this congregation has partnered with community groups to work for justice. And this is our opportunity to deepen our ability and our skills in this area. They can get more information about this from the Unitarian Universalist Association website or from any leader in the congregation. As much as I would like to believe that we are the generation that will finally bring full equality to our land and to our world, well, I am an optimist, but I'm not naive. It reminds me of when I was a child and I imagined that when I got to be 21, I would know everything. And then I found out there was always more to learn. And likewise, there will be always more opportunities to make our world more fair. We cannot know the exact form that the issues of equality will take 100 years from now. We can know that whatever form they take, this congregation and its members will be there. The struggle for equality and justice, I believe, is eternal. One evening in February 1912, a church was formed. In that act, the people made commitments. They made a commitment to each other to walk together and to work together in love in good times and in bad. They made a commitment to something greater than themselves, to the cause of liberal religion, to the creation and nurture of an institution that would ensure its future. They made a commitment to this city and to the world that throughout time there would be a liberal religious presence working for freedom, promoting the use of reason, fostering tolerance, and standing on the side of love. And so while I may not be able to imagine the specifics of a congregation or world 100 years hence, this is what I do know. People were imperfect 100 years ago, they are imperfect today, and they will be imperfect 100 years from now. This congregation was imperfect 100 years ago, we are imperfect today, and the congregation will be imperfect 100 years from now. And our world, it was imperfect, is imperfect, and will be in the future. And so we need each other. Our faith needs us, and the world needs us. As we turn the page of history to a new century, let us be about the work, the continuing and eternal work of striving for that elusive world of our dreams. May we, gathering joyfully in our time, in spite of and even because of our imperfections, commit ourselves to each other, to this beloved community, and to our world today, tomorrow, and always. Will you sing with me?